Blog Talk Radio.
Country and a little bit rock and roll here tonight on the Rattlegion Broadcasting Network. And I am your host, the mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And I am joined by another mandated reporter, and frankly, she's just pissed off.
No, I'm tired.
Oh, you're tired. And frankly, she's just sleepy. I've got my notes all mixed up.
Yes.
Of course, the sound you hear, that sultry voice, of course, is my wife, the inimitable Mrs. Melissa Rattledge. How do you do, madam?
I'm good. How are you?
You know how I am.
Yeah, sure. We've been over this tonight.
Yes. I'm actually watching the election coverage, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Though if Trump wins Michigan tonight and Bernie Sanders wins Michigan, I will do a pantless dance. You won't see it. This is audio. But
be happy.
Don't worry. But yes, I will be doing a pantsless dance as soon as they call Michigan for either Trump or Sanders. But that's not what we're here to talk about right now. This is the country washboard of jubilation. You heard of the Metal Hammer of Doom? Well, this is the country version of it. So we're not going to be reviewing metal albums as such. We're going to be reviewing country and Western at least once. I don't know if we're ever going to do this again.
Probably not.
Melissa, are you a fan, typically, of country music?
I wouldn't call myself a fan. I don't hate it. It's just not what I typically listen to.
Okay. So you are not going to run out and buy the next Garth Brooks album?
No, that I might do. I like him.
Oh, I see. You realize you're getting yourself into a trap here. You're backing into an alley that you might not be able to get out of. Because if you insist on listening to new country albums, I'm going to insist that you review them.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I don't listen to albums.
What do you listen to? You listen to Gummy Bear.
I'm a gummy bear.
Yes, I'm a gummy. Those of you without children, imagine that for an hour and a half. I'm a gummy bear.
And I listen to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
You want to review that with me?
Absolutely not.
The Mickey Mouse Clubhouse of Doom? All right. Now, let's get into what we're really here for. Melissa is a longtime fan of the band Sister Hazel, who no one's ever heard of. Unless you remember them from their one hit in the 90s.
There were more than one hit.
From their one hit in the 90s, all for you.
No, there was more than one.
You want to talk into the microphone?
I'm trying to clean something up.
Really?
Yes. It's driving me crazy.
Unless you went to Gainesville, in which case they were a thing there. What?
There are multiple songs that were in really big movies.
Name 10.
I didn't say 10. There's multiple. No, there were. I mean, 10 Things I Hate About You, one of their songs was a big song in that. And
wasn't that all for you?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway. So for more than the 10 of you that have heard of Sister Hazel, they are a band from Gainesville, very popular with the University of Florida crowd, of which my wife is an alumni. And so she fell in love with the band, and I'll let her explain it to you. But we are reviewing their ninth album in nearly 6 years. Their first album in nearly 6 years. This is their ninth studio album. I'll get it right. This is called Lighter in the Dark. And one of the reasons why we're doing it, other than any excuse to drag my wife against her will onto a podcast, I'll take. But the other reason is, Sister Hazel sort of traded in their alternative / alt country sound for a full-on country album. They even brought in country artist Darius Rucker, formerly of pop band Hootie and the Blowfish.
But that's the thing, though, is you realize them, Hootie and the Blowfish, Edwin McCain, all those guys, they're all kind of that same genre, and they all are coming up at the same time.
Right.
So it's like new, more modern Southern rock.
Okay. In any case, it came out. She's a fan. They changed their sound ever so slightly, and it was interesting to me to hear it. So we gave it a whirl and said, you know what? Let's take an opportunity on an empty slot here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network and give it a review. Let's talk about it. But I'm going to hand the mic over here to my illustrious wife. And Melissa, why don't you tell us, since, you know, I sort of did my thing with your history with Sister Hazel, but I want to hear it from your mouth.
Oh, okay.
Tell me, you know, how did you come across this band? What has it meant to you? Why of all the things you chose to review with me, you made a special effort for Sister Hazel?
Okay, well, when I was in, oh my gosh, it had to be the summer between 9th and 10th grade. So when you are an old man and I was still in high school, I got the opportunity to go to a journalism camp at the University of Florida. So I was going to spend a week up there. And in that week, it forged a love of two things. One, the University of Florida, and two, Sister Hazel. Because while at that camp, I actually helped produce and create a promo for a 4th of July concert that they were going to be doing out in Gainesville. So because of doing that promo, I kind of got to hear them a little bit. And through that week, I kind of just started listening to them and really, really found that they spoke to me. And so in all honesty, from about the age of 14 to what, I'm now 32, they have been kind of the consistent thing in my life. And, you know, no matter what's going on, there's a song that fits your life. And so they've just always been a really good part of everything for me. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Okay. Now, you say you like a little bit of country, but you're not the world's biggest fan. What did you think of them sort of adopting that sound for this album?
It was kind of the inevitable. They've always kind of been going there. And truthfully, like talking to my dad, because my dad's also a Sister Hazel fan, he and I kind of came to the kind of the same spot where they kind of always had that sound. It just had a little more of a rock edge to it. And now I think with the way that country music has morphed, they've embraced it a little bit more. And so there's not a huge difference in the sound, but it's definitely a little more country.
I'm going to go ahead and listen to the first track off here, but before I do, I want to get your assessment. Where do they rank on the twang-o-meter?
I think it's pretty low.
There's
only a couple of them where I was like, oh, this is definitely country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's pretty reasonable. I think it's definitely, it's more modern. I don't even know a country artist to compare it to that's modern, because I don't really listen. But it's more modern, and it's definitely not very twangy.
Merle Haggard.
No, definitely not a Merle Haggard.
It should be, though.
Yeah.
Merle Haggard's great.
You know what, truthfully, I mean, it's a lot like Darius Rucker, although Darius Rucker is a lot more twangy.
Okay, so less twangy than Darius Rucker. That's Melissa Rattledge's official review. Okay, let's go ahead and listen to track one here. Now, we're going to do this the same way we do the Metal Hammer of Doom, play a minute or so of the song so I don't get sued. And then we'll talk about it, and we'll fill in here with some stories and wherever the night takes us. But that is young, Melissa Rattledge. Let's see where the road
takes us. Yeah, but I'm not.
Let's see if she stays awake for the whole podcast, folks. But the betting are open now. All right, here we go. Fall Off the Map, track one.
This kind of road that no one else knows. Let's ride a wave that never been rolled. With the radio blaring and the heartbreakers screaming, our baby will drown out that little voice of reason. Let's push and push till we take it to the limit. Let's give in to this red hot minute. Let's fall off the map and just disappear. Let the wild wind be our steering wheel. We got cars to pay and kisses to steal. And baby, we can't drive till we're out of sight. Let's get lost tonight.
Okay, so other than the twangy guitar there, that sounds like Sister Hazel to me.
Very much. Actually, it reminds me of another song. And I it's so sick because I am such a, I love them. I really, truly do. And it's reminding me of a song right now, and I can't think of the name of it to save my life. And I'm like sitting here and I'm kind of humming it to myself and trying to think of the words, but it does remind me a lot of an older song that I've always really enjoyed. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Swan Dive.
I can hear that.
Yeah. Which is a really great song. In fact, I think we were going to use it in our wedding or almost used it in our wedding.
Swan Dive?
Swan Dive.
Yeah, it puts a lot of shitty music at me for our wedding. And we, for those of you who don't know the story, we actually went with some of my folk metal songs instead.
Yes, everybody walked into beer, beer.
That's right. That's what it should be. Folk metal, everybody. You'll hear more
in a wedding.
In a wedding. And you'll hear more of that on the Metal Hammer of Doom every other Thursday, you know, the Rattle Legend Broadcast Network, myself and Robin Cooper, the Metal Coop. Anywho.
But no, I mean, it does. It's a neat, you're right. Other than the twangy guitar, to me, it's a lot like the Sister Hazel I know and love. And I think that that's part of the appeal of a lot of the music on this album is if you are more of a country fan, then it definitely appeals to you. But if you're a Sister Hazel fan, you still love it because it does have that, like, you know, putting on a pair of comfortable shoes. You're like, hey, I know what this is.
Yeah, I would tell you that, now as the album progresses, you definitely hear more country and it looks like there's more chances with this album. But this first track is still very much Sister Hazel. You know, when you was like, oh, they adopted a country sound. If I would only hear the first track and not listen anymore, I wouldn't have known what you were really talking about.
Yeah.
They played it safe on that one. I guess, you know, Robert Cooper and I talk about your lead-off track, your end track, and all that, you know, and how you should lay out an album. You don't want to scare people away on the first track.
Mm-hmm.
We, a couple years back, Robert Cooper and I reviewed an album by Metallica called Saint Anger, and we talked about how Frantic is such a shitty song that people have a hard time getting past it. With this one, especially with them adopting a new sound and trying and experimenting with some things, they played it safe here. You know, they still have you by the hand and say, okay, you know, it's gonna be okay. You know, you don't have to freak out or anything. It's gonna be all right with this one. And then as the album progresses, they start to get a little bit more interesting. But not a bad song. Not a bad song. Just sort of. God, if I had to say, what does Sister Hazel sound like? It sounds like that.
Yeah, it does, and I think it's comfortable. It feels nice.
Feels nice. Okay, let's move on here to track two. This is That Kind of Beautiful.
Have you ever been flying down a long, windy road with your windows wide open and the sun rushing in? Have you ever sat staring at a shoreline all night? Don't want to blink your eyes thinking, man, this is it. And the last thing you think about is leaving. Yeah, you can't believe you're seeing what you're seeing. That kind of stop you right.
Country music. What the hell are you talking about there?
I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think one of the things I love about Sister Hazel is they do this great job of taking those little things in your life that you take for granted, like sitting on the beach and looking out at the water.
I was going to think a clean house and dinner on the table.
Well, marry someone else. sorry, not going to happen.
She's already taken, folks. Calm down.
I know, and it just this is another one for me where it just reminds me of all those things I love about their music, and it's not just the way the music sounds. Or Ken Block's voice is probably my favorite. I love listening to him sing. He just has this great texture to his voice, and I love it. But I love their words, and I love the pictures they paint when they write, and I love the things that it makes me think about and the memories it evokes.
So that song was about not taking things for granted?
That's what I think. That was definitely my interpretation. And I think that that's a lot of their stuff. I mean, you're talking about a group of guys who've known each other forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been through some tough stuff, and they aren't afraid to write about it. They're not afraid to share what they're thinking, and I love that, and I think that that's why they appeal to so many people, is they're really good at putting words on how you feel. And I think what you're hearing with this is that these are a group of guys who are in happy places in their world right now, and their writing is reflecting that.
Read an article earlier today about the production of this album, and they were talking about they were talking about how they came to this point very naturally. This wasn't what some bands do, and I complain about this all the time. It's, you know, something is popular in music. Take like an Axl Rose with Guns N' Roses. I've used this example tons of times. After he kicked everybody out of the band, it became the Axl Rose Experience. He started experimenting with more industrial sounds, because when all that occurred, industrial was popular. And by the time the album came out, industrial had become pretty much passé, at least in the mainstream. I mean, you could tell the only reason why he was doing it was because it was popular, and he was trying to hang on to, you know, the kind of popularity they had with the Use Your Illusion albums and Appetite for Destruction. And it sounds unnatural. It sounds fake. It sounds forced. These guys are talking about, you know, they didn't just start doing country, though I have an article here that accuses them of this anyway. They didn't just start doing and experimenting with country sounds because, oh, well, that's what's popular right now. That's what gets people to buy the album. So that's what we're going to do. They came to it very naturally. And a lot of this album is sort of an extension of where they are in life. And it's not forced in any way.
No, and I would actually totally buy it. And whatever article you read that said that this is them, that this is brand new to them, clearly has not listened to Sister Hazel for any amount of time in their life. Because, I'm not, maybe it's a little snarky, but it's true. I mean, go to any live show from these guys, and they're always going to talk to you about their, you know, what inspires them, and they're usually going to cover somebody. Can't tell you how many times I've heard them do a Lynyrd Skynyrd song,
or another
great Southern rock that they just launch into it, because that's what they grew up listening to.
All right, we're going to play a song, and then I have breaking news.
Oh, God. So good. This is my favorite song.
Okay. Here's where we finally start to hear some of that country we've been talking about. This is karaoke song featuring Hootie and the Blowfish's Darius Rucker.
Everybody needs a go-to karaoke song. They wanna make you sing along. So take a sip of courage and just get up on that stage. Forget about your worries and just let the music play. Everybody needs a go-to karaoke song. Bobby Joe was a head cheerleader, 15 years and another man who'll leave her. Tonight she let her hair hang down. She's up there singing Funky Town, and Barry came down from New York City. He's singing in color, and it isn't very pretty. Can you jump from tonight? No, no. Everybody needs a go-to karaoke song. I wanna make you sing along. Take a sip of courage and just get up on that stage. Forget about your worries and just let the music play. Everybody dreams.
I really like that chorus.
I love that song.
I love the chorus. I love the idea of, you know, I like that line, take a sip of courage and get up on that stage. I like anything that promotes the idea of life is to be lived.
Yeah.
And to take chances. And before you jump in here, we have a Rattledge and Broadcasting breaking news. Where is my breaking news music? There we go.
Jesus!
Don't know what's my breaking news thing. Let's try that one more time. Breaking news here on the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network.
Ah,
That's much better. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump has won both Mississippi and the Michigan primary, 38% with 25% of the electorate reporting in. He has won Michigan. That's got 59 delegates. Earlier in the evening, he won Mississippi with 40 delegates. Hashtag, this is happening. The Daily Show can do all the Donald Trump wants to sleep with his daughter, and everyone can make a big deal that he made a dick joke after he was needled by Rubio on the size of his hands. All they want, this motherfucker's going to be the nominee. So get used to it. Trump, 2016. Hashtag, this is happening.
Anyway. Because I could care less.
You couldn't care less.
Sorry, you're right, because I could care less.
That's right. There was a level of that you could care less.
Okay, thanks, grammar, please.
You're the fucking teacher around here. I work with inmates.
Anyway, fun thing about this song, it has been around for years.
Has it really?
Yes, it is one of their songs that they'll do at shows, and everybody knows it. It actually was on their DVD that they did called 20 Stages.
Right, which you can also, which I believe appeared on the Access TV network.
It did, and it's actually on our DVR for me to watch whenever I'm having a bad day. But it's been around for years and years and years, and actually Darius Rucker did help them write the song forever ago, and they finally put it on an album. And it's one of those songs that finally hearing it on an album has been kind of nice, because I always kind of liked the song, and as I said, I knew about it because I've gone to shows and 20 Stages and all that. But it was really nice to hear
it. You were at one of the 20 Stages.
I was at a couple of the 20 Stages shows without
really
realizing it. They filmed one, I think it was two of them.
While you were married to me?
No, maybe. I don't remember.
Because I thought the 20 Stages tours did happen while we were.
And I feel like we went to two of the shows, though. But
okay.
I don't remember. Honestly, I don't have the list in front of me to be able to tell you.
Okay.
But we've been to a lot.
We have been to, I'll tell you a funny story. Now's as good a time as any to talk about this. So just being married and having kids, you know, we don't get out as much as we'd like to. And people listening to this at home who know us, it's just like, fuck you, Radovich, just we never get out. You people are always out on a date. But we don't get out as much as we'd like to. And we don't always get to see Sister Hayes and when Melissa wants to see them. We do try, and we'll be seeing them again on April 23rd. So we make an effort to go see them at Epcot, because that's something we can bring the kids to, you know, put the kids in the chair over by America.
Yeah, I was going to say, we never get to go into the little stage area.
No, we tried that once,
and that was a horrible failure.
That was a hashtag child fail, hashtag parent fail. So we'll sit back in, like, the American area. I'll have a turkey leg, and we'll get some coffee drinks and give the kids some chocolate milk. And let them dance and have a good time. You can still hear the music really good in that pavilion area.
And actually, I can still see the show.
Right. So one year we were there before my son was born, I believe.
Yeah.
And we got our daughter, who is less than five at the time, all hopped up on chocolate milk and cookies and donuts. And it didn't agree with her belly.
It was hot.
And she couldn't keep it down. And now, I don't want to be gross or blue here. So we'll say the first time she got sick, we cleaned it up. It was fine. And it was a dainty sickness. It was, oh, please hold back my hair kind of a sickness. And we dealt with it, and it was fine. And we were good parents about the situation. The second time, she had been possessed by the devil, from what I could tell. And proceeded to shotgun puke whatever the hell was left of what we gave her, and scored 2 points for her. She got some of it in my shoes. So,
but thank you to the wonderful workers at Epcot who were very calm and got water for her and cleaned up everything and checked on us for the rest of the night.
Sister Hazel did not come over and check.
No, they had no clue. But had they known, they would have, because that's the kind of guys these are.
Before we move on, I think Ken Block and Darius Rucker may form a nice duet.
Oh, my God, I love... Okay, so I have a story now.
Oh, boy.
I do.
Does it relate to Darius Rucker and Ken Block?
And Ken Block, yes. Okay. That's why I'm joining Ken. So I, as I said, I've loved this band since I was between 9th and 10th grade. So that's a long time for those playing the home game. But one of the really cool things is I went to the University of Florida. And so being at the University of Florida, they love to come in and play gigs at home. And they actually did a show, and this was shortly after a very horrendous breakup. And it was in Gainesville at the O'Connell Center, and it was Sister Hazel and Hootie and the Blowfish. And it just so happened the person I had broken up with had bought me the tickets before we broke up, so I got to take my very bestest friend in the whole wide world with me, your other wife. And so the best way ever to deal with a bad breakup is a little bit of booze and standing on the floor of the O'Connell Center watching Hootie and the Blowfish and Sister Hazel team up for a concert. It was probably the best night of my life. And
so white.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
If you were any whiter, you'd be translucent.
Whitest white girl in the planet, guys.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with that.
And you know you're not allowed to say bougie anymore.
Right? I am allowed to say bougie. I got 22nd Street cred. I hang out on the hood.
So we're going to go track four now as I proceed to ignore my wife. This is not a Poison song. This is, in fact, Something to Believe In.
I'm not the king of America. I've got a blue-collar heart put together with rusted old bolts and discarded radio parts. Just a kid from Gainesville watching Petty with my lighter in the dark. Yeah. And I've done all the wrong things for all the right reasons, and all the right things in all the wrong seasons. I'm just like you, man, winning an uphill fight. Yeah. Tonight I'm singing a brand new song on an old guitar, and they keep telling me it won't get too far, but I know who I am and I know who you are. Yeah, yeah. We're simple men who love complicated women, down losing hands but we're think we're winning. Add it all up and it don't seem like much, but it's something, something to believe in. Yeah, something to believe in. Can I get an amen? Yeah.
That's the story of my life right there. I am a simple man who loves complicated women. Oh, God. And all these years listening to Typo Negative and the Life of Agony and Anthrax and Slayer, and the song that finally says it for me is fucking Sister Hazel.
You're welcome.
Something to Believe In.
You're welcome.
That is me all over. I am a simple man who loves crazy bitches. Or, sorry, complicated women.
Thanks, Lucy. Sorry.
That was my translation of the song. Well, that's what he meant.
No, I don't think that's what he meant. But
what,
okay.
What do you think he meant?
I mean, it's...
What's a complicated woman to a man?
It doesn't mean it's a crazy bitch.
I'm pretty sure that's the underlying...
I don't think that that's what Drew Copeland means. Drew Copeland is too nice of a guy to call a woman a crazy
bitch. Okay, but now show your work, madam.
Show my work?
Show your work. What is it about Drew Copeland that he wouldn't mean... What does he mean by complicated woman?
Complicated, meaning that we're not easy to read, and that, you know, one second you're happy and you're loving life, and 30 seconds later you're going to murder everybody in their brother.
Okay, so I'm a simple man who loves bipolar women.
But we're all a little bit complicated like that. I like the word complicated better, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm not arguing with you.
I know you're
not. I'm with you on that.
No, but that to me is such a Drew Copeland song. It's so funny. I am definitely a person who prefers Ken Block stuff to Drew Copeland. I think Drew Copeland is extremely talented, but I definitely prefer Ken Block stuff.
This is like a Paul McCartney,
John
Lennon thing.
A little bit.
So, for people who might not be that into it, what do you mean? What's a Ken Block thing versus a Drew Copeland thing? What makes one John Lennon and the other one Paul McCartney?
So, when you listen to this, when you listen to songs, first off, Ken Block's voice is just so distinct, and it's got that little bit of a gravel to it that I love, which is part of my preference to him. But his stuff tends to also be a little bit more rock and roll. Like, he is a little more rock and roll, and to me, Drew Copeland is a little bit more of the country. Drew Copeland tends to be a lot more romantic. He tends to be a lot...
Drew Copeland's Marie Osmond, and Blackman's Donny Osmond.
Well, bet.
All right.
I don't know how they feel about me making that comparison about them. I don't know. You never know.
That's true. I shouldn't sound like that podcast short.
No, you shouldn't.
The Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network is, in fact, one of the best podcasts in the history of podcasts.
Okay. And especially if I'm on it.
Especially. You were on the Baby Metal one, and that's got over 1,000 listens. So, we could break the bank tonight.
Clearly, I have valid opinions.
I never said you didn't.
I know you didn't.
Leave the phrase, "I use this crazy bitch," not dumb. So, we're having fun here on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network tonight, folks. All right. So here's a phrase I've used often: "Kiss me without whiskey."
Could you kiss me without whiskey? Would you miss me without wine? Without money, my your honey, 'cause you break me every time. I think we're through. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh no. Take away your Tanqueray, you never say you're not much fun.
Uh-huh.
Go and find yourself another. Heck, you might go get your gun. I think we're through. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, Lord. And if they may make it a double, look out now, 'cause here comes trouble, yeah. Here comes. On that juice you get so loose, you got me thinking I'm the man. But it's over when you're sober, and well, now I understand that it's not real. Yeah, I finally figured out your deal. Now, 'cause here comes trouble, yeah.
So, a little known fact about me, I actually enjoy bluegrass music.
You do.
And that was very bluegrassy.
Yeah, it is. I love it, but I think it's very tongue-in-cheek, and I think that it was done that way, and I think that song, you couldn't have a song like that without that level of twang. But I do enjoy that one. That one's fun. That one is, that's Ken Block,
It's one of my favorite songs on the album. First time I heard it, I had to stop what I was doing to give it a good listen again.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. I really enjoy the bluegrass.
It's very tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a very funny song. It's good to know that Sister Hazel don't take himself that seriously.
No, but and that's kind of the love of them. And any show you go to, they are the most down-to-earth guys. They like each other. They're friends. This is not one of those situations where you have guys on five different tour buses that don't talk to each other, don't want to deal with each other. These are genuinely happy to be around each other guys. And you feel it and you hear it in everything that they do. And they really are. They're like brothers. And I love watching them.
Now, you've listened to the entire Sister Hazel catalog up to this point. Where would you sort of, we're about almost halfway through this now. Where would you rank this album in terms of with the rest of the catalog?
I mean, I like it. It's not one of my favorite. I mean, it's not, although it's hard to put a favorite album out there, but I like it. I think there's a lot of good stuff on it. I think it's one that, pretty much with the exception of maybe one or two songs, anything that they would play, if they played anything off this in concert when we go see them in April, I'd be happy to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff on here I like.
How would you compare this album to any one of the Cracker albums I played you?
I hear some similarities.
Mm-hmm. Because I was playing this for a coworker, and she described it as alt country. I've looked at the Wikipedia page, and I've seen it there. I've seen it listed as alt country as opposed to just straight country.
Here's my terminology for it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that it is next generation Southern rock.
Okay.
I think it's them, Darius Rucker, Hootie the Blowfish, Edwin McCain, that whole group of guys. I really think that they're that next generation of the Southern rockers.
How many more years do you think the band's got left in it?
I think they've got a lot.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I do, and but I think a lot of that's because they genuinely like what they're doing. You know, they're getting at a point where their kids are getting older, and I think they still want to make music, and I think they still want to be out there with each other. And quite honestly, as long as they're willing to go out, I'm going to be trying to get my butt there. And I'm really excited to be sharing it with our kids. I think one of my favorite things was going to the baseball game, to the Rays game for my birthday, and they were the after concert, and having Lily and Jonas down on the baseball field dancing around.
Well, Jonas wasn't dancing nothing.
Well, but Lily was, and it was great, and it made my night. And you know, those are the things. This is music that I'm not afraid to have it on in the car with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to worry about, oh God, they're going to say something, and I'm going to have to explain it to Lily, or I can just play it, and we can all enjoy it and sing it, and I love it. I truly enjoy it. I truly, truly enjoy it.
Okay. Let's go on to track 6 here. We have another guest spot here. Who the hell is Jillian Jacqueline?
I don't know, and I'm going to be very honest. This is probably my least favorite song.
Really? Okay.
Really?
Well, let's give it a listen here. This is Almost Broken featuring Jillian Jacqueline.
Why do you want to do this? Do you always have to win? I'm not saying that it's over, but you got me questioning. If you keep chipping away, baby, knocking pieces off my pride, there'll be nothing left. Well, I'm almost broken, barely keep this love alive, going through the motions, running out of things to try. Don't want to surrender, don't want goodbye, but I'm missing that light in your eyes. I'm not done hoping. Baby, I'm almost broken.
So, I mean, I like it. I like the piano in it.
Too slow for me. But here's the thing, and this is where a lot of Sister Hazel fans think that I'm an insane person, and that includes my best friend. I am not a fan of songs like this, especially by them. One of the biggest songs that Drew Copeland has ever done is called This Kind of Love, and everybody loves it, and everybody plays it at their wedding, and it's like, oh, the most romantic song ever, and every time it gets played at a concert I'm at, I'm like, yep, I'm going to go to the bathroom now, I'm done. It doesn't do it for
me. Not punk rock enough for you?
Yeah, it's not punk rock enough for me. It's too slow, it's too, I like my romantic songs to have an edge to them.
Which reminds me of another song you almost picked for our wedding.
Which one?
The Say Anything song.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, Melissa almost, you know, as a romantic ballad we played at our wedding, picked a punk rock song.
Called A Walk Through Hell.
Then,
but we did use Sister Hazel in our wedding.
We did.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't remember where.
I think it was Swan Dive.
Mm-hmm. No, I do. I enjoy a nice piano song. I enjoy singer-songwriter type things. I have a great love and appreciation for the slower songs, as much as I'm into, again, listen to my show on Thursdays. You know, I do like my thrash metal. I like my speedy music. But I'm just as big a fan of Cracker's The Golden Age, both the song and the album. And that's a very slow song. It feels like by the end of it, you've aged a year. Yeah, I like Tori Amos. I like Amy Mann, Mattie Starr. And these are all
women. They're crybaby women.
Yeah, my crybaby women.
And that is where it's so funny, because you would expect me to love that. Like, that song, I cannot stand any of it.
Though that used to be my drive home from Polk County a lot of times. Like, you would think I'd listen to, like, angry stuff. No, by the end of the day, with an hour and 15-minute drive ahead of me, I just wanted to listen to women moan into a microphone.
Yeah. And it's like torture for me.
So that one would be a good one for me to hear live, because I really enjoy it. But I can see where if you're nearly not into that speed of music, Demetrius Johnson. He outspeeded him. If you're not into that sort of tempo for music, you would get bored with it.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, like, you're not really like an ADHD type person. So it's funny for me to hear you say that, oh my God, they slowed it down too much. I got to go take a piss.
I don't even know why it is, but I have always been like that. I don't do well with it. I don't like it. I can think of only a handful of songs that are slow like that I actually do like, and none of them are Sister Hazel.
All right, let's move on here to track 7. This is Take It With Me. Let's try that again.
I painted and I fixed up every inch of this old truck. Would lay that lot for months. Wish I could take it with me when I go. Got good friends, I hang around. Familiar streets that I drive down. I've got history in this town. Wish I could take it with me when I go. Oh, oh, it's gonna be great inside them pearly gates. Oh, 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 there's a few things of mine don't wanna leave behind. Wish I could take them with me when I go.
So I think it's unfair when critics, overuse the word derivative or, oh, that just sounds like every other whatever it is you're talking about. I think if it comes from an honest place, and that's what the musicians came up with, yeah, I think that there's something to be said for that. And the reason why I started off that way is because that's probably the most authentically modern country song they have on this album.
Yeah.
It's up there, at least.
But, here's the thing, my take on that, though, is that it is so reminiscent of old school Sister Hazel.
In what way?
Just very similar guitar licks, very similar the way it started out with the single guitar and then it kind of swelled. They've done stuff like that forever and a day. That's kind of their thing, is the gradual build. And it was them, but a little countrified. It was, and I think it was, I enjoy it. But yeah, it definitely is them.
If you didn't know that was a Sister Hazel song and you put on a modern country station,
it would fit right in.
You have Martina McBride's and, and Keelan Peele and
Keith Urban and
Stinky in the Brain.
I think it would fit right in.
Absolutely. And some might say, that makes it derivative. That makes, that makes them sort of hacks. But look, I think, like I said, if it comes from an honest place, what are you getting on their case for?
Yeah. But, I think it's a natural progression. If you've listened to their music for any length of time, you kind of heard them going this direction for years now.
Mm-hmm. And almost, there's almost a sense of freedom on this album. Like, we don't have to be in this little box anymore.
No, we've
marketed ourselves this way for so long.
Right.
That we kind of have to stay in there. Like they just said, to hell with it, let's just be who we are and whatever flows from that, and let's not worry about the labels that have kept us in this particular lane.
And I think that's what's fun about this album, though, is this album, to me, is everything they are. It's got a little bit of their rock stuff. It's got some of their country stuff. It's got their slow stuff. And I'm thinking, this is where I'm not the most knowledgeable because this stuff is not the stuff that sticks in my brain. But My dad actually bought the album, and I was looking at it and looking at the liner notes and stuff. My dad is the only person I know left in this world who still buys CDs.
No, Robert Cooper does.
Does he? Robert Cooper?
Robert Cooper, who's in his early 20s.
Wow.
Still,
but I was looking.
But we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
He's still physically buying CDs, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't either. But anyway, I was looking at the liner notes, which is actually probably the only cool thing about buying actual CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And the record label is not a big record label, it's a little one, and I don't know if it's their own label or what it is, but it's a very small independent label, and I think a lot of what we're hearing is them not having to get
having
the pressure. Yeah.
Not having a master to serve. And in a way, it's really funny because your favorite band is Sister Hazel. My favorite band is Clutch. And it seems like their journey mirror one another because Clutch also started their own record label so they would have no masters to serve.
Yeah.
You know, and they can do an album like Robot Hive Exodus, which leaned heavily on gospel.
Right.
Not something you would typically associate with a stoner rock band.
No, but it sounded awesome.
Yes, it did. All right, so this is, speaking of not having a master's to serve, this was their lead single. It's called We Got It All Tonight. Let's go ahead and listen to it.
VIP velvet rope action round here, right here. We got our own little perfect kind of atmosphere.
Got it on the radio, ready to rock. Cool track, chill back, ready or not. Smiling that smile, I don't want you to stop. Yeah, you and I, we got it all tonight. Big sky with the stars all shining. Now we ain't got nothing but time. And moonlight falling, good times calling. Ain't got much, but we got it all tonight.
Okay, that's every Sister Hazel album I've ever... Hi, this is the Rattlers and Broadcast Network. That is every Sister Hazel song I've ever heard.
See, to me, it sounds more country, and I think it sounds like it's going to fit right in on the country music station. In fact, I know on one of their big Hazelnut, because fans of Sister Hazel are called Hazelnut, one of their big Hazelnut Facebook pages, they're, like, urging members of it to call their local country station and ask for it to be played. And I think it fits right in there. I actually really like it.
Are you tuned into what other Sister Hazel? Sorry, Hazelnuts. Are you tuned into what the Hazelnuts?
People are liking it.
Are they?
They are. They're
any
liking it.
Any major complaints among the longtime fans?
I haven't seen any major complaints among longtime fans. No, I mean.
Isn't splitting the Hazelnuts at all?
Not that I've seen anywhere.
Okay.
But again, if you've listened to them for any length of time.
Mm-hmm.
You knew this is where they were going.
So now, even a band that you love, there's always going to be something like, oh, I don't like this or whatever.
Yeah.
I was curious if there's an album or a period or a sound that they use that you weren't particularly enthralled
with. There was an album a couple of years ago, Bam, Wham, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Bam.
Bam. I was not a fan. I can't even tell you why. It was one of those where every time I sat down to listen to it, I was like, I am just not into this.
What was, like, were the songs radically different from what they had done previously?
Not that I can recall.
Okay.
I mean, but that's what, it's just one of those things where it's
were
like,
you in a mood?
Maybe I was. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was. But when it came out, I was just like, I'm really not enjoying this. Maybe that one was also a little more country. And I maybe in the place I was at in my life, I was like, I just don't want to hear this. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that one. I don't enjoy that one very much at all.
It was the your version of Metallica's Load and Reload.
Maybe.
All right. Now we come to one of my favorite tracks on the album. I was listening to it at work yesterday with a coworker, as I said earlier, and this one repeatedly has jumped out at me. It jumped out at me when I first gave the album a listen to. I was cleaning the house at the time, ladies. And
he's married.
ladies. And I was cleaning the house and this one jumped out at me because of the lyrics more than anything else.
That's the great thing about Sister Hazel. They really do have awesome lyrics.
They can in very many of their songs, that is completely true. Let's go ahead and listen to track 9. This is The Danger Is Real.
Life's the breath that we steal, beautiful battlefield. Love is fire in a storm, it
can burn, it can whoa.
Love, love, love that chorus.
Yeah. Do you know what it is to me? It's a love letter to your kids.
Yeah, I thought about that
you
too.
Again, have some background. I've listened to them for years. Their kids are getting older. Their kids are middle school, high school age now, a lot of them. And I think these are the words that you're going to say to your children as your children are getting ready to go into the scary world out there.
Right, or if you want to take your daughter to go see the Jungle Book live action movie.
Look, she's five.
The danger is real, but fear is a choice.
She's five, and she chooses fear.
I'm just saying, there's no danger. Your car is not going to jump out of the screen.
No, but then you get to wake up with her every night for like a month when she wakes up screaming that there's a snake coming after her.
Yeah, she was afraid of bats coming in her room. Uh-huh. We live in the suburbs of Florida. No bats.
No. And this is the child who freaks out when there's a moth.
Yes. Quit soccer because
there's ants.
She didn't want to run where the ants were. But danger is real, and fear is a choice, and she should not choose fear, and we should encourage her to be fearless.
Okay.
Anyway, that's why I like the song.
No, it's great, and I think it has beautiful words, and I think that song is written by Drew Copeland, and I think he's a really great
lyricist.
Yeah, I couldn't think of that word. Thanks. And so is Ken Block, but I think that, you know, he really kind of hit something profound that I really like. It's nice.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where, yeah, I like the music. You know, again, we're back to that bluegrassy sound. But I more so enjoy the lyrics of it because that's how I live. You know, I choose to be as fearless as I can be. That's not to say that there aren't things that make me afraid, but... You know, fear is a natural thing. I think fear is an important thing to have in one's life. It's what stops you from walking in the middle of traffic when there's cars and stuff like that. So it keeps you safe. But I think you have to use fear appropriately, react to fear appropriately, and not let it be the one thing that guides all of your decisions. You know, I think even in our marriage, where Melissa has been fearful, I've always encouraged her to try to move beyond that fear, confront it, if you will, and move past it. For no other reason than you know, you only have one life in this world. And as I said earlier, life is to be lived. Because when you look back and you start to think about all the things you could have done, that can be pretty depressing. So, you know, you try to look back with no regrets, which means being fearless and take, you know, and sometimes I have failed at a lot of things in my life, but I get up every morning and I go to my job and I come home to a wife and kids who, you know, love me for the most part. And when they're home.
When
they're around. No, you know, as many times as I have gone out on a limb and the limb has cracked beneath the weight of me, I still get up, dust myself off, and move forward. And I think that song captures that spirit. So it's you know, while you can dissect the music and, you know, maybe it lacks here or there, I think the message is strong enough to carry it through.
Definitely.
All right. Here's a song, track 10. This is The Prettiest Girl at the Dance. At the Dance. God damn you, Blog Talk Radio.
Top ten is a teenager for a cold one. You didn't even know that I was there. Too little, too
such an old one. I'd be lying if I said I didn't care. But I'm sitting here tonight, looking at my life, wishing I'd held you tight when I had the chance. Guess I got what I deserve. The truth is, you always were the prettiest girl at the dance.
So, what are some more of your stories, Melissa? What about tell us more about your long love here of Sister Hazel.
Oh my goodness.
You had stories to tell, things you talked about.
I know. I'm trying to think now of, like, what. I mean, there's the night I went to see them in Ybor City. I don't remember if it was a zoo or not. But they we were walking to the club where they were playing, and I literally ran into Jet Barris. And it was one of those where I realized who he was, and he kind of was like, hey, and walked past me, and I just kind of had a moment. Actually, you know, here's the thing. One of the great things, we've been talking about their lyrics and how they really write these words that kind of fit your lifestyle. And I went through a really horrible breakup when I was graduating from college and coming back home to Tampa. That was really tough. And they happened to be releasing an album at that same time. And a lot of the theme of the album really perfectly fit with what was going on in my world. In fact, we have one song that myself and Sarah have dubbed, I won't use his name because that's not fair to him, it's his song, because the words were so perfect to everything that was going on, talking about how, you know, I was the last one to know what you were up to kind of thing, and that was the truth. But my mom, who kind of has always been there to support me, went with me because they were doing an in-store in Best Buy here in Tampa. And my mom went with me and stood in line with me. And, you know, I got my picture taken with them. And it was, like, the highlight of my world. But the best was that everybody would make fun of the picture because my boobs are the size of Ken Block's head in the picture. I mean, but they just have always kind of been the guiding force through a lot of my things. They've, you know, they helped me down the aisle. They helped me not go down an aisle. They helped me with my kids. You know, they've been, you know, my best friend, Sarah, that's kind of been her and my bonding point. I mean, she and I have gone to so many concerts together, and every time I go to see them without her, I call her. And when they play her favorite song, which is Your Winter, and I have to call her so she can hear Your Winter, and I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to kind of.
Let's go ahead and listen to track 11 here. This is Thoroughbred Heart. One of your favorites. It's one of the slower songs.
Not one of my favorites, but I like it. I think it's nice.
So, as we're...
It's not... I love Drew Copeland. I really do. It's not a Drew Copeland song.
So, as we're breaking down this album and we're telling stories and having fun, I'm also keeping an eye on tonight's Super Duper Tuesday primary election. And we already said earlier Trump won Michigan, he won Mississippi, Hillary Clinton won Mississippi. But the race I'm watching right now, and I'm not a Democrat, but I'm watching it anyway just for the giggles. I watch this stuff like other people watch sports. And I've been watching the Michigan race between Bernie Sanders, hashtag Feel the Burn, and Hillary Clinton, hashtag anyone but Clinton. And he's had a 52-0.7 lead on Clinton for like an hour now. And they still have not, no news station that I'm aware of has declared him the winner. I have the live updates here from the New York Times. And I'm just watching and watching and I'm watching as the percentages are staying the same, but the percentage of people reporting in, polls reporting in, are going up. And, like, Hillary Clinton won Mississippi with nothing reporting in. That was hilarious. God, I love the American electoral system. But, 44% of polling stations reporting in, and they still won't give it to Bernie. And I'm just like, come on, man. That's an important one for the Democrats. I mean, I think Clinton's going to end up with the nomination anyway. But, I want to see Bernie merely make a race of this. What do you think, Melissa? You're on your phone. You're not even paying
attention. I'm so over the politics stuff at this point in time. Can it be November? I'm really tired of it.
You just want to run away? Do you want to run? Highway run.
And not my folks. It's called a segue.
Just to pass the exit sign. Nowhere Arkansas. Feeling like I'm about to hit the wall. Sunrise in my eyes is driving me to tears, and it ain't helping that my mind's a million miles from here. Ooh, run, highway, run. Bring me that horizon, make them good years hum.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but not a lot of fiddle and not a lot of banjo in this. One of the, these are some of the more traditional instruments you hear in even modern country.
Yeah. It definitely had a country feel to it, though.
No, it does, but it's that same, I don't know how to describe it, but that same sort of bluegrassy feel. Like the songs that are more leaning country here seem to lean more into the bluegrass area than they do, I would say, something like the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is just they're missing that instrumentation. They're missing those elements to it, which, could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I think with 25 minutes here on the clock, we're going to play our last two tracks here, unless you've got some burning desires.
I like it. I think that one, I was trying to look it up because I don't have a liner notes. That one I think was written by Jeff Barris, who's a big country guy. A lot of his stuff is usually very country. So, I think it sounds like a lot of his stuff. The guys in the band, they do have very distinct sounds. And so when you hear something, you reference Lennon and McCartney. And I think that's very true. You've got your two main songwriters in the band, Drew Copeland and Ken Block, but Jet Barris and Ryan Newell usually contribute something. But when you hear Ryan Newell or you hear Jet Verse, you know it's them. They have their own little distinct sound. And the previous one that we listened to, not the Red Highway one, but the one right before it, that one I'm pretty sure Thoroughbred Heart was Ryan Newell. So
I believe this next one's pretty sappy too. I also remembered liking it a lot.
You are a softy though.
I am a softy. And not just because I'm fat.
You're soft on the inside and the outside.
That's right. I'm like a donut. Rattle into broadcasting, everyone. This is track 13. This is Back to Me.
Creeps in. I can't sleep for thinking. I'm so tired of you sleeping with your back to me. So I'm writing you this letter. Gonna leave it on the dresser. Babe, there ain't no pressure to get back to me. If you find your way, find your way and find me.
Prettiest songs I've ever heard, and it definitely rings out to me. You know, the idea of, you know, you're sleeping with your back to me, and he writes you this letter, and it's like, take your time getting back to me, and this whole idea of pouring your heart into a relationship and wanting some of that return back to you, and feeling like you're just shoving a lot of energy into a black hole and not getting anything back out of the relationship. No, I don't see that about you or anything. No, there's nothing with you. You're back to a trampoline of love and energy coming back to me. I'm just saying, in other words.
I know. I get it. It just is not a personal commentary.
I'm just saying, I really identify with the song.
I love you.
I love you. Still love you, honey. I didn't want you to take it the wrong way.
I didn't take it the wrong way. Although maybe I should have.
Let's get a little hot here. Oh, look, Bernie Sanders dropped 2 points.
Anyway, no, I like it. I think he's got a really great way with words. I don't have anything more profound to say.
It words are pretty.
It has now hit 10 o'clock.
All right.
I'm a pumpkin.
Let's she's starting to grow vines and turn orange, everyone. I don't mean orange like Randy Orton. I mean orange like she's a pumpkin.
I have to get up early and educate America's youth.
I can't always be your excuse.
Yes, it can.
All right. So before we lose Melissa entirely, thankfully this is our last track. This is 10 Candle Days.
Silver, 10 candle days will be gone for too long.
It reminds me of an epic. Like, it seems like it's telling this really long, like, it's telling a long story. So,
like an epic poem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I thought it was a nice way to end the album. Yeah, ended slow, ended with, I meant to say this before, with the one song you didn't like that had Jack Lane on it. Her name was Jillian Lewis.
Jillian Jackson or something.
Juliet Lewis. Lewis and Clark. I'm not good with names. In any case, the other female country singer, that, you know, Robert Cooper and I always joke about this. Like, there's always got to be one ballad on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a death metal album, there's always a ballad. So, very traditional, and in the sense of, you know, how you lay out your album, it's kind of, your long, slow song is always at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did here. I don't have much to say about it. So, in general, I think we have a hit here. I
like it. It actually is not doing horribly. It's like number 4 on the Billboard country music. And then I want to say it was 6 on the independent album. It's not doing as well in the, in like just the regular Billboard top 200. But it really, it's not horrible. It's not having a poor showing. It's actually doing okay. 79th. Out of 200.
Yep. I'll go over the charts here. Peak position on the U.S. Billboard 200 was 79. That's not bad.
That's not horrible.
Top country albums, it was number 4. That, I'm sure that must have, you know, been thrilling for them. Folk albums on the Billboard chart was number 3. Independent albums, number 6. Top rock albums, number 12. So, you know, I mean, people are listening to this album. It's not bad.
I really enjoy it. And I mean, I know I am a Sister Hazel fan, so it's not.
You're a hazelnut.
I am a hazelnut. So it's not like they necessarily needed to heavy market it to me. But I do think that country music fans are realizing, like, hey, these guys are pretty good. I think that it helps them having a known name on there, like Darius Rucker, who they've worked with for forever. And I think that helps them. And I think it helps them reach kind of their next generation of audiences. You know, they were well known to a lot of us in the 90s and the early 2000s because their songs were in the movies a lot. There's one of the big themes in 10 Things I Hate About You. The song playing is Sister Hazel, It's Your Winter. So there's a lot of little things like that. I mean, All For You is stuck in everybody's head for God, probably 5 years. You know, there's great music out there. I mean, I'm a teacher.
Are you?
I am a teacher. And I've used lyrics to their songs before with kids and analyzing what do you think they're talking about. There's a great song called Change Your Mind. And I work with a high poverty population, and I previously was a special education teacher. And my favorite thing to do is to show my 5th grade students the lyrics to that song. And to get them to think about, if you don't like if you don't like it, change your mind. It's all you have to do. So I love that they're really trying to reach out to that next generation, and they're trying to broaden the circle.
Have you tried Cannibal Corpse?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of the inaugural. What will be the first of many, I'm sure. Country Washboard of Jubilation shows. Eh? Are you feeling the burn? You want to come back? Eh? So this will be the last show we do. Now, honestly, it was just an opportunity for us to talk about this album. We both really liked it, and I said, oh, well, you know, if we like it, we should talk about it. It's kind of what you can do when you have your own podcast.
It's how I get to spend time with my husband.
Yes. It's how. Right now, I'd be watching The People versus OJ, and she'd be asleep.
Yes, I would.
So it was fun. Don't know if and when we'll do this again. I'm trying to still convince Melissa to come on for the Baby Metal show when we do that after we come back from WrestleMania.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. The line's forming to the left for people who want to talk about the new Baby Metal album, so we'll see what happens. In the meantime, Melissa, now is the part of the program where we do plugs. Why don't you plug all of the endeavors? Don't you have a Kickstarter?
No, I have a Donors Choose. DonorsChoose.org, for people who don't know, is actually a community-based crowdfunding for teachers. And I do have a project out there I'm trying to fund right now. I'm trying to get 4 tablets for my classroom so that I can get my kids, you know, digitally reading, because that's kind of the wave of the future. Plus, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to buy classroom libraries. They're really expensive. And if I had a tablet, they're a lot cheaper. So if you're interested, you can always donate to Donors Choose. It's you would search for Melissa Radulich, and I would pop up there. I think that's kind of the only thing I can plug, unless you live in the Tampa Bay area and have school-age children and are looking for a great school to send them to. In that case, I teach at a magnet school, and it's wonderful. It's an A. It's actually one of the few A schools here in Hillsborough County right now. So that's what I get to plug.
No, you don't want, how about where they can find you on Facebook?
No.
How about where they can find you on Twitter?
As you found out earlier, I have not tweeted in 2 years.
Instagram.
No. Well, I mean, I use those things, but those things are pretty private. I'm a teacher.
Pinterest.
I'm all over Pinterest.
Are you?
Oh, I'm all over Pinterest.
All
but no, but like, look, my world is different than yours. I don't necessarily want everybody coming to look for me on social media, because God forbid I be another one of those teachers who, for some stupid reason, ends up on the news.
All right, all right. What if someone wants to pin with you on Pinterest? How do they find you?
They don't need to find me.
Okay, what if they want to pin you?
You know.
All right. I don't understand how Pinterest works.
Yeah.
Do you Tumble?
No.
All right. do you have a Google account of some sort that you'd like to plug?
No.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. And this is the opposite of however.
I was saying, this is the opposite of when you guys.
The plugs take 20 minutes of the show up. So I'll do my plugs instead. Tomorrow night, Robert Winfrey and I will be reviewing London Has Fallen, the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen. I'm calling it the love child of any disaster porn you've ever seen, and Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Alyssa Milano. It's that kind of movie, folks. If you like dumb shoot 'em ups where cities explode, you'll love London Has Fallen. And we'll review that at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. That'll be Wednesday, March 9th. This Thursday, the Metal Hammer of Doom returns proper, and we'll be doing our annual cover show. This is Covers 3, Army versus Navy. Yeah, Jesse Sarcher, producer of that show, already uploading all the music. So it's gonna be quite the battle. Me versus Robert versus Jesse Sarcher in a triple threat match, because Jesse wanted to be included. We got it in the Army from Sabaton, got it in the Navy from Ailstorm. It's going to be a fun time we'll be had by all. The new Killswitch Engage comes out this Friday, March 11th. So go ahead and check that out, because we'll be reviewing it a little bit later on in the year. Unfortunately, we're not going to be reviewing it next week or the week after, because, well, I'll get to that in a moment. This Monday coming up, I will be on Source Material, talking about Superman Earth 1. Superman Earth 1 on March 14th. And we're doing that in preparation for all of our Man of Steel / Batman vs. Superman content that's coming up. On Tuesday, March 15th, we have a special edition of the Metal Hammer of Doom. It's Cooper's Choice. He chose to do the new Destroyer 666 album called Wildfire. Since there was no room on the schedule proper to do it, he said, damn it, I'm finding a day, and we found a day. So we'll be reviewing the new Destroyer 666 album on Wednesday. Robert Cooper and I are back reviewing movies. We'll be reviewing Zootopia, who just ran away with it at the box office. Apparently it beat Frozen, which shocked the shit out of me.
Yeah, that is shocking.
Yeah. On the 17th, Afro Circus, we'll be reviewing The Long Road to Ruin.
See, that's what I hear a lot of, too. Followed by your son trying to scream it.
Doesn't he really?
Like every fifth word.
Is Afro Circus?
Well, he'll like scream a random word.
Okay. Not sure what that has to do with me screaming Afro Circus.
Because he's trying to sing that song.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he can't keep up with the time of the music.
Okay.
So you get like these random like, bah! Because he's trying to say circus or whatever, but he can't keep up.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And it's kind of like when he sings Let It Go.
Awesome. So yes, we will be reviewing the Madagascar trilogy on The Long Road to Ruin, March 17th. On March 18th, I will not be a parent anymore, because I will be watching all of the new Daredevil season
and the
two.
Really, really horrible part of that is that's my last weekend before I go back to school after spring break.
Tough shit, honey. I got Daredevil. I got Mark Hunt versus Frank Mir on Saturday. I'm not going to be available at all.
I'm going to my mother's.
That's fine. We'll be reviewing season two Daredevil on March 23rd. And then finally, on March 24th, Robert Winfrey and I will be delivering our In Defense of Man of Steel podcast. And then on Friday, while I'm off seeing Batman vs. Superman, Gavin Napier of Casual Heroes and the Bunkhouse Stampede podcast. You can check out the Bunkhouse Stampede right here on the Blog Talk Radio. Look for Gavin Napier. Him and Pat Mullen do a hell of a show. Gavin and Pat will actually be delivering the case against Man of Steel. So you get two sides to that story. On the 30th, we'll be reviewing Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. And on the long road to ruin, we'll be doing the animated Dark Knight Returns, part one and part two. And then on April 1st, the new Baby Metal comes out, Resistance. And my family and I will be off to see, we'll be off to Dallas to go see WrestleMania. So that's what's happening in March. Hope you'll join us for all those great podcasts. We certainly hope you will. And that's about it. So again, tomorrow night, 9:00, London Has Fallen, me, myself, and I, and Robert Winfrey. Melissa, Bernie Sanders went up to back to 51 again with 57% reporting in. So we've got to feel the burns tonight, everybody. He's got to take Michigan. Anyway, do you have any final words, Melissa?
No, I have nothing. Nothing insightful, nothing.
Did you have a good time tonight?
Enjoy this? When it's stuff that I understand and I feel knowledgeable about, I have no problem talking to you. It's like when all of a sudden you want to bring me on, I'm like, I don't know what to say about this, but I suck my sister is all night long.
All right. But for the Melissa Rattledge, my beautiful wife, I am your mandated reporter, Mr. Mark Rattledge. I will see you tomorrow night. Be well, be safe, and behave.